What's on the horizon for financial markets? At PGIM, it's a question that over 1,400 investment professionals relentlessly research in pursuit of your long-term goals. Specialized across asset classes, but united in collaboration, our teams provide global and local expertise. Our investments shape tomorrow, today. Pursue your tomorrow with PGIM, a leading global asset manager.
Market moving insight and analysis. Join Jim Cramer, David Faber, and me, Carl Quintanilla, on the opening bell hour of CNBC Squawk on the Street. Good Tuesday morning. Welcome to Squawk on the Street. I'm Carl Quintanilla with Jim Cramer and David Faber. Futures are solid as we brace for a busy inauguration week. Yellen on the Hill today, along with other Biden nominees for state, defense, homeland security, earnings from Goldman, B of A, and of course Netflix tonight. Our roadmap begins with go big or go home. The former Fed chair and Treasury nominee Yellen to call for Congress to bypass their debt concerns for the next COVID relief package.
Plus, banks back in focus. Goldman shares are higher after it crushed earnings estimates. Bank of America's stock is down. This after there was a miss on quarterly revenues. We'll go through both of those earnings reports. And a Biden policy shift. The president-elect planning to cancel the Keystone XL pipeline permit. But what else should investors expect in the early days of the new administration, which begins tomorrow at 12:01, Carl?
We're going to get to all of that, guys. Jim, you did tweet, though, this morning, I love a good rally based on nothing. Is that what today is?
I think so. I mean, look, there are a lot of people who feel in the late afternoon that maybe interest rates are done going higher. And then you've got Janet Yellen, all this testimony. You say, why? I don't know if that's possible. At the same time, you don't get a blowout from Bank of America. You get a blowout from the much smaller Goldman Sachs. But let's face it. I mean, did anything really happen over the three-day weekend? No. But maybe that's what matters. David, weren't these 3 days of calm?
Yeah, I guess they were. They were calm. Well, in the markets, maybe.
No,
sure
in real life.
They were calm for the country.
In real life.
Really?
Yeah.
Calm?
I mean, obviously tomorrow's a big day, but I'm just saying that we didn't see tweets this weekend that made us feel like
we didn't see tweets, and
that
we didn't see violence, which there was obviously a lot of concern, particularly, I guess, on Sunday or even yesterday that there might be. So, yeah, I guess that's a fair statement, Jim.
And Carl, what I'm seeing is, again, the same thing over and over again. It's the SPACs. And we're all trying to figure out exactly what these companies are doing, how they're working. I know David's very interested in some SPACs, and I'm looking at Churchill Capital Corp. 4 I spent on the week. I
mean, Dom was just talking about it, of course. It is down on that statement, more or less not saying much of anything. Well, but I hesitate to get involved in that in some ways because the speculative nature of the shareholder base there is such that they're very into you deal with it all the time.
Yeah.
You're okay with people being very mean to you.
Yeah, I kind of like it.
You're Jimmy Chill.
Jimmy Chill likes it.
And you block them all. But, there's a lot of conspiracy theories.
Well, they're pathetic parodies of the human mind. I mean, I'm not quite sure what to do with them. But let them do their thing and move around and whamma-jamma. But, Carl, I'm more concerned about whether Goldman Sachs is a true blowout, given the fact that this is one of the largest beats I've ever seen. There's some great notes today about restaurants that make you feel people are coming back. I don't know. I guess I could focus on, let's say, retailers that sell, David, PlayStation and, I don't know, anything, right?
Oh, boy.
Xbox?
Well, that's what I noticed. You were battling it out.
And what the borrow
GME.
Is? Do we care about the borrow?
You know, Carl, there is the speculative nature of this market that we talk about a lot. It can be reflected to a certain extent in the move of CCIV. That's why we mentioned it, because, of course, this is a SPAC that has yet to announce a deal, but moving up on speculation that it will with another EV car, another one of these EV car companies. But we'll see. And then every day it's another SPAC. I got Omar Israq today, the chairman of Intel. He's got one. Barry Sternlicht's got his third that he's going to be pricing $750 million. And also Gores, which they had a very good first SPAC. They got another one coming out. And Carl, I'm not even keeping track. That's just the ones that came up this morning in a couple of conversations.
Yep. Yeah, no, we're routinely doing half a dozen a day easily for the last couple of weeks on average. Jim, it kind of, I wasn't going to get to this early, but it does kind of remind me of this call out of UBS where they take Fiverr, Chewy, and Peloton to sell. And the line that stands out is, we collectively see all three as emblematic of a market that values growth over any semblance of valuation that can be justified, right? That's some straight talk from UBS. Yeah, not the evidence lab, but it's UBS.
I thought it was good. When I heard that they had something negative to say about Chewy, I said, well, that's just heresy. Everybody loves Chewy. I mean, this is one of the most loved stocks ever. Peloton, I thought that their acquisition, Premcor, I'm not sure how good this was. Illinois Tool Works gave it up on a long time. But, Carl, I thought that resonated because these kinds of stocks that have just gone up because we think that the pandemic's never going to end, if we're getting more vaccines and the Biden administration is able to deliver on its 100 million, then you can't really own those stocks. They're just too high. David, I do believe that while Chewy is great and makes the process fun, I don't know, so does Amazon. They don't make the process fun, but they got great prices.
Great prices? Yeah.
Amazon?
Yeah, sometimes.
Where do you get your dog food?
I don't know where we get it. We got to get special. We get
how much
special
is a
dog food.
How much is a carton of milk?
I know that. We've already gone through this. It depends where you get it. It depends if it doesn't have the hormones or not.
George H.W.?
Yeah. I mean, it can be $4.50 or $5 as much as that if you go with the Horizon. Or, you know, it can be different if you want all the antibiotics and hormones in there. So it really depends.
I think Amazon is a screaming buy because I think that many people have sampled it and are staying with it. By the way, a lot of notes last week, Carl, about Netflix. What am I leading up to? There's a good piece today about Facebook. There's a piece about Apple having a good quarter. Is this the return of FANG, or are we supposed to continue to just buy endless industrials like Emerson, David? Because Emerson, wow, David Farr's about to leave, so maybe something big's going to happen. I mean, in other words, self-help industrials, David, that's what I'm hearing about.
It's funny, we haven't talked to Emerson in a while since Steve Shaw was in there and they sort of figured all that stuff out.
Oil and gas, David,
right.
Doing well.
Oil and gas has been doing well. Can we come back to financials? Because we kind of skipped over it pretty quickly. I mean, they did not perform particularly well on Friday.
Oh, that's it. Really?
After earnings.
Really, David?
Really.
How about horrible?
Okay, you want to use horrible? I'll just say
I'm
not
do horribly. Led by Wells Fargo, which I could make a very good case for Wells Fargo, but I'm not going to do it right now.
And then in the era of big banks, I mean, Bank of America, we see it's going to potentially open lower, although you can see how the financials are lining up. I mean, what's your take on the quarter? I'm looking here, you know, at a note quickly from Piper Sandler. Negatives include trading revenue miss versus guidance, lower than expected net interest margin, higher than expected expenses. They do note, obviously, the buyback is nice at $3.1 billion, and they had a higher reserve release.
Net interest income was good. You've got a terrific situation in the expenses. Why? Because, you see, they tried to make it so that, say, employees get $100 for a child care. There's been a tremendous move by Brian. I'm talking about Brian Moynihan, be able to keep his employees safe, spending a lot of money. That hurt their expense ratio. I think that they continue to have a problem with the yield curve. You need the yield curve. You need more business, David. All of these things are just things that happen. But you need more loans. One of the themes about last, Carl, if you look at Friday's conference calls, it's whether it be Wells Fargo, whether it be Citi, whether it be JP Morgan, there are many things that may not be going right in the country, but boy, our balance sheets of individuals are the best they've ever been. And all of the banks would admit that. Now, we know that there's still a tremendous number of people who are being left out. And that's why Janet Yellen is so important. You know, Jamie Dimon talking about how that 40% of America makes $15 an hour or less. That's unacceptable. That's unacceptable. But the people who make more, Carl, are just, they're stashing it or they're buying cars. The car lease numbers are very good. Buying houses that are outside the city, but they have nowhere to go. And we keep remembering that travel and leisure looks like it's spent too much. We spend too much money on airlines, too much money on hotel rooms. So that money's being sent back to the people who have it. The people who don't need all the help that Janet Yellen can give them.
Yellen is expected to talk not just about the coming COVID relief package, but also the fact, Jim, as you point out, that the economy was, the recovery was K-shaped even before COVID hit. There's a look at Senate finance, and we'll also hear from Lloyd Austin up for defense, Tony Blinken up for state, Mayorkas, DHS. Jim, to your point about travel, though, and the ongoing hope for a second-half recovery, this double upgrade of AXP is going to get some attention today.
I thought that was terrific. I think that's in line with what's going to happen, which is the amazing pent-up demand. You talk to any of the airlines or manufacturers, they just say, look, we're never going to see anything like this again in terms of the second half, 5% growth at a minimum, money being pumped in. I believe it. I believe it. And now, we have some notes today about restaurants. Is Darden doing well? Why a lot of other people couldn't spend along with Darden? Chipotle, we know that Chipotle's been doing well. But people don't go fancy dinner because you can't. You just can't. And I think that that means that you can buy Darden, even though the stock is up 50 points in a heartbeat. There is, Carl, I'm going to say it. And I know David, focus on this for a second.
I'm focused.
Okay. Always. David, there is so much money.
Yes.
From Gen X, and they have the Gen Xers who have a job. What do you think they do?
They go out.
No, geez.
They stay home.
They buy stocks, darn it.
They buy stocks.
Yes.
I thought they were into experiences. Wasn't that what everybody was all about?
Oh, the experience gives you COVID. We're out of that game.
We can't do experience.
That, no, anymore. That was a bad call.
No, that is true.
That was
well,
good.
That will come back, though, Jim, and maybe they'll stop buying stocks and start doing experiences again.
No, well, David, they buy
or
stocks.
Or maybe buying stocks is an experience.
Maybe it is an experience.
They love it. Many of us saw a video this weekend about two people saying, listen, what we do, we have a strategy. And what we do is buy stocks that are going up, and we buy them, and then we sell them after they're up even more. And I'm like, listening to this, I'm saying, okay, how many people are saying this is a top? I just say, no, these people are a bit of an anomaly. I see very smart buyers of situations, Carl, and I see some situations where it's just a short squeeze. But the buyers tend to be a lot of these EV situations that not all of us can follow. There's too many companies to follow, so we end up defaulting to a lot of weirdo websites. Yet, don't take it personally if you call yourself a weirdo website. But, David, you know, when you see the vociferous nature of our audience, when you talk about a stock that you think may not be worth it.
You keep wanting to come back to this, don't you? Wanting to drag us back to this.
Well, I thought it was good.
All right, just do me a favor and don't tell anybody my address, okay? Please. You know, you tended to sort of do that sometimes. Don't do that.
All right.
But yes, I know what you're, of course, we've been focused on that, again, as a reflection of the speculative nature of this market, the entrance of this new cohort. They're not even new anymore. They've been with us for 10 months. I thought they were even younger than Gen Xers, actually.
Well, look, a lot of these people, they love to buy, but some of them.
And the combination, I said this Friday, the combination of EV and a SPAC, it's like fission. It's like putting together, you know.
There are
all
many,
you need is your implosion device.
Carl, you know what we don't talk about enough? The Tesla millionaires. There are many millionaires created by Tesla. You might think it goes down. They can't take it off. They should take some.
Sure, there are. When you have a company that's got that kind of market cap and an 800% gain in its stock price in a year, yeah.
I'm going to give you two, Carl, that while obviously completely unexciting versus Tesla, GM and Ford. Okay? There. Take that.
Even as you're talking, Jim, we do have some news regarding GM's Cruise and this new funding round with some interesting players. Phil LeBeau's got that. Hey, Phil.
Hey, Carl. A new round of fundraising for Cruise, which is the autonomous vehicle subsidiary of General Motors. This latest round will include Microsoft, which is also going to be partnering with Cruise, bringing its expertise when it comes to software, cloud computing, all critical to the development of an autonomous vehicle network. So it's going to be Microsoft, GM, Honda, and other institutional investors who are now putting another $2 billion into Cruise. And what's most interesting, guys, is the valuation of this latest round of fundraising for Cruise. It is now at $30 billion. For some point of reference, the last time they did a fundraising round back in July of 2019, The valuation of Cruise at that time was $19 billion. So that's one reason why you look at shares of GM up almost 8% as people continue to say, okay, Cruise is a subsidiary. It's not strictly GM, but they realize the value of developing these autonomous vehicles, and this is another piece in terms of GM taking that step towards reinventing the company.
When I look at GM, and a lesser extent, I look at Ford, I'm not saying that they have envy, but I am saying that they must question what is the tipping point where we think, say, of GM as a company that has lots of cool, I mean, LeBron's, you know, buying stocks, buying great cars and trucks and a product line that's been completely refreshed and EV cars that could end up being inexpensive. What makes it, what do we start doing when we think that the EV business is worth more than the entire company?
No, that's a great question, Jim. And I think what people are waiting for, I think they see the moves that Mary Barra and her team have made, and they like what they see. And they realize that the Ultium battery technology, look, that gets high marks within the auto industry and within the EV world. People sit there and they say, look, there's a lot to like here. What people want to see next, and this will come over the next year, let's see the products. If they truly can match up, then I think people will buy into the roadmap that GM has laid out here. That's going to be the key.
They only, you know, GM only has $710 billion to go in market cap to catch Tesla, Phil. So,
yeah,
I mean,
well, you know.
Yeah, it's going real. I mean,
that's $100 billion here, $100 billion
there. Yeah, exactly. I mean, there's $71 billion and Tesla's below $800 billion now. You know, Tesla obviously starting to roll those cars off in China.
Yep, the Model Y.
12,141 cars, according to my friends at GL Warren Capital. That's including the 3 and the Y from the 1st to the 15th, and production picking up there. But they're competing domestically as well against NIO, which I assume the likes of GM is competing against eventually, too.
Yes, China will be the focus. Make no mistake about this, not only in terms of auto sales, which it really has been over the last 5 years, but when it comes to EVs. That's going to be crucial. You know, I over the last year, David, 2 years, we would always hear people say, oh my gosh, they shut down the plant for 2 days out in Fremont. The world is coming to an end. Forget about Fremont. Not entirely. Carl, what you need to focus on is the Shanghai Gigafactory. That is going to be crucial to Tesla's growth over the next several years. Yeah, Berlin is important. The new one in Texas is important. And Fremont will be important. Gigafactory in Shanghai, that's the crucial one.
Big news here, Phil, as you point out, Microsoft will also be GM's preferred cloud provider, help streamline supply chains and so forth. So we'll get more on this from you later on today. That's our Phil LeBeau. We'll take a quick break. A lot of calls on the street yet that we've not yet gotten to, including Microsoft over at Morgan Stanley, named a top recovery pick for 2021. New street high for Roku. Future's looking good. And Yellen in less than an hour on the Hill. Don't go anywhere.
Wouldn't it be great to have all your investment and retirement accounts in one place? Yahoo Finance, our sponsor today, makes it easy. I use it to put my investment account and 401k accounts into one hub and get expert tips that help me confidently manage my money. For more than 25 years, Yahoo Finance has been the brand behind every great investor. Whether you're a seasoned investor or are looking for that extra guidance, Yahoo Finance gives you all the tools and data you need in one place. They're the number one finance destination, producing a holistic look at the financial news cycle, including breaking news, original editorial perspectives, analyst ratings, independent research, customizable charts, and so much more. Securely link your brokerage accounts for a unified view of your wealth, including 401k and other investments. A comprehensive perspective is what sets apart great investors, and it's how Yahoo Finance ensures you have the insight to look at your wealth in its entirety. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit the brand behind every great investor, yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com. That's yahoofinance.com.
The Biden agenda in focus ahead of tomorrow's inauguration. Published reports say the president-elect set to cancel the Keystone XL pipeline permit on his first day in office. His executive order would reverse President Trump's decision in 2017 to grant the permit after President Obama rejected it. A lot to unpack here on oil, Jim, including Halliburton this morning, who says, with the quarter, we believe the worst is behind us.
Yeah, that has been the rap, and I understand. They finally found an outlet for natural gas, and that's really important in the Permian, because if you can't find an outlet for natural gas under the Biden administration, you're not going to be able to drill as much, because natural gas is a byproduct. So once they've piped it away, it's a good sign. I just think that you tell me whether people are going to be going out, because right now to get it from 53 to 60, you're going to need more economic activity than we currently have. That said, there are a lot of people, Carl, who feel this is another great second half story. I would prefer to play it, I'd say a little bit more derivative, but you buy an Emerson. which has got the industrial component, and David, you know, has got a substantial oil and gas business.
It does. It does. I do laugh a bit at the these oil and gas companies, these carbon producers that are turning themselves into pretzels, trying to describe themselves as clean energy companies. And by the way, making real efforts. I don't want to make light of that. Real efforts to carbon sequestration, all sorts of different things, Jim, that they're trying to do to change their carbon footprint. But I mean, it's kind of hard when your business model is to take it out of the ground and have it spew into the air.
Well, Occidental apparently doing some things there.
You saw the Total deal,
a game changer.
Europe ahead of us. And ESG there ahead of ours, ahead of the efforts here, although I say over the last 12 months, we certainly seem to have caught up in a lot of different areas of that. But when it comes to environmental sustainability in particular, they may still be a bit ahead of us there. So Total sort of got that memo quite some time ago.
Yes. Carl, I mean, when we think about what these companies are going to do and how they have to pivot because of President-elect Biden, it's going to be fun to see the companies that realize that suddenly there's a group of very big money managers who say we will not buy fossil fuels, that's our contribution. We're not going to buy these stocks. And that's the next round of negativity. It's not happened yet, obviously, because he's not president. Right now, they've had the run of the joint. But I think there's going to be a lot of talk about can we own these stocks and still be ESG compliant? I think the answer is no, they can't.
We'll talk more, Jim, about your broader point, and that is how much macro risk is behind vaccine distribution and uptake. We'll get to that, though, along with the opening bell in just about 7 minutes. Don't go away.
The spirit of performance defines Acura, and now it's electric. Introducing the all-electric ZDX, Acura's most powerful SUV yet. While what powers their cars may change, the energy that makes Acura never will. Crafted using the same formula that brought them electrified supercars and multiple IMSA championships, the ZDX has track-tested performance that packs an energy all its own. With a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system and up to 313-mile range on a single charge, and a Type S variant with an estimated 500 horsepower, the ZDX is everything they said electric could never be. It was built with the driver in mind, just like Acura has been doing since the beginning. We could talk all day, but the only way to experience this electric performance is to drive it yourself. Unlock the energy and order yours at Acura.com.
All right, we really didn't get to Goldman Sachs too much other than just noting its stock price was up this morning. So let's do it as the mad dash here, Jim.
You know, David, I don't think the numbers are that as important as the actual presentation. The presentation, I think, reads like this is why we deserve special status on Wall Street. What we do, clients turn to Goldman Sachs at times of disruption, delivering one Goldman Sachs to our clients. It's very much of a throwback to, look, we're the advisor to the stars. We're the advisor to stars, meaning the people who spend the most money. And they talk about much stickier assets. They do have a page, no emphasis on the Marcus kind of Robin Hood, let's say, aspect. But I think that if they broke that out, you'd be surprised at how well it's doing. But I just think that it's, you know, it's the steady progress toward medium goals. And I come back to return on equity being 13%. David, that is not even, it's nowhere. It's double what we thought it could be.
Right.
It's just amazing. So there's a page, reaffirm strategic direction, grow and strengthen existing businesses, diversify our products and services, operate more efficiently. This is very different from what we're seeing with many of the other banks. This is a broad sweeping, we are better than you think analysis. And I'm with it. I think they are better than you think. Their wealth management is really good. Trading is very good. It's their market. It's Goldman's market.
And
don't have to worry about net interest income nearly as much as everybody else.
Yeah, well, as you point out, I mean, across the board, whether it's wealth management or banking or any their other areas, they outperformed. ROE, I guess, at 11.1% for 2020 overall, but fourth quarter, 21.1% return on equity.
I mean, look, Bank of America, we know, is having an unbelievable January. I got some work on that, you know, 7% growth, and that should propel the stock more than it is. But when I look, you know,
but David, Goldman moved up into this print. I mean, Goldman moved up a lot.
Right, but I'm saying that you look, anything can happen in this market, but I do think that this is even better, but not necessarily because of what we think. It's better because, listen, we're sticky, we're good, we're not bragging, we're back, we're bigger than ever. We're bigger than ever. I'm turning you over to Carl.
Okay.
Let's watch the opening bell, guys. And the S&P heat map at the bottom of your screen. 3768 is where we'll kick things off. It'll be a busy week for earnings overall, guys. We'll get some of the regional banks. There's a nice mix of transports in there. Netflix, Jim, how would you characterize expectations going into tonight? It ceased to be, I would say, the favorite FANG name, although they're now aiming to unveil 70 new movies this year. It's more than a movie a week.
Yeah, I mean, I watched the Miami piece, which was the one thing I thought was really shocking. It was made in 2020. Terrific, by the way. I thought it was, I learned a great deal. But Netflix, I think, is just going to be sticky. But Carl, when we speak about Netflix, I think we have to speak about Roku. And there's a sense that somehow while Netflix is good, Disney is good, Roku is unassailable, and it's just beginning to start advertising. The run in Roku, Carl, is really one of the great runs of all time. Now, it's not a Tesla run, but this is a run which just says this one's scratching the surface. And so, therefore, it's got the, I'd say, the most momentum, if you want to call it that. Like the the video I saw, which is like, hey, it's going up, so let's buy it, and it'll go up more. It's very hard to argue that. Is that what's happening? I mean, it went up. David, what are you looking at?
I'm looking at the J.P. Morgan overweight on Roku, which I'm sure Carl's looking at also.
Yes.
Good.
Because
I was trying to get in the...
Want to chime in on that?
I'll let Carl chime in on it because you were going to him, and I know he keeps track of all this. And then I'll come back on sort of streaming overall, right. Carl.
Don't forget, Amazon is the one that made that night in Miami.
Great minds, obviously, David. They go to 475. That's a new high. Our bull thesis largely driven by the advertising opportunity, as Jim says, which only an estimated 8-9% of TV ad budgets is not keeping pace with the shift in eyeballs. David, I know you probably also saw the downgrades of Viacom and Discovery to sell this morning as well.
I did. And Viacom announcing it will launch Paramount Plus, its streaming service, rebranded. Remember, you've got CBS All Access already, but rebranded on the 4th of March. But I did note that you say, listen, on Friday I talked about how Discovery and Viacom have both been up so dramatically
since
the beginning of the year. I mean, each roughly 20-some-odd percent. And hard to really pin it on one thing. Obviously, Discovery did introduce their streaming service. It is now out there, Discovery Plus. But that note you reference, I mean, I picked up one line from this downgrade at Barclays, Carl. In some ways, a streaming service like Discovery Plus or even CBS All Access are effectively a glorified catch-up DVR service with a few originals slapped on top, which goes to at least some concerns that are out there that say, Jim, you know, Netflix and Disney, winners.
Right.
Now, Amazon, I don't even, because it's not a content company overall. That's not its business. Netflix, Disney, the winners, everybody else going to be fighting for the scraps.
I think that's right. I think, well, other than Roku, which is not really, you know,
and
it's a streaming
service. Which Malone, in our interview of, you know, when was that, November, talked about as he felt really well positioned as a platform for the distribution of these streaming services.
Oh, absolutely.
And benefiting from it.
Now, Carl, sometimes people don't read these conference calls. What do you think was the most scatological, exciting, and yet a dramatic conference call that we've had so far?
Scatological.
Scatological. It's J.P. Morgan, Jamie Dimon, once again, dropping
Diamond,
the S-bomb this time. Not the F-bomb, but the S-bomb. And I was shocked. And it was in reference, Carl, to the fact that he is scared because of Visa, MasterCard, PayPal, and their stock market valuations. It was one of those moments which is like, we're Butch and Sundance. Which is like, who are those guys? And a lot of the analysts are saying, when are you? It's like GM and Ford. It's like, you know, guys, did you not see this coming? And Jamie, who's very, very entertaining, I find, and just kind of just said, yeah, I mean, we get it. We are, you know, listen, we got to be on the run here. So I thought that was the only thing that was really exciting so far in earnings season. David, you listened to that, where they bleeped that out, whatever, on the transcript.
And he went after Plaid also.
Yeah.
Which Carl knows. And then we had the CEO come on who wouldn't go after Jamie. That's probably smart.
Right.
But sort of questioning some of their practices when it comes to data, Carl. But we can't lose sight of these companies, and Jim certainly makes sure of that, because their market caps are so dramatically higher than they were even a year ago. PayPal and on, Visa, obviously, the largest. Where is Visa right now as a market cap? I mean,
it's like $475 billion. Yeah, Jamie was particularly, I think, rankled by Jamie. He was like, Cheryl was particularly. Carl, there is an otherworldly notion that Jamie Dimon puts up an unbelievable quarter. And what is he forced to talk about? Fintech. And why isn't he doing as well as fintech? The younger investors, what do they like? They like fintech. They like EV. They don't like JP Morgan. They don't like, it's too boring for them. In the same way that people have been telling me, Jim, this Apple, it hasn't moved in weeks. What do they expect? What have they done for me lately? Right? I mean, these are people who hate the Cleveland Browns. It's a bunch of losers. No. But I think that when you're talking about brokerage, you're talking about the merry men. You're talking about the young people who are taking that money, the stimulus money. And, David, they're not buying Bristol Myers. They're not.
No.
They're not.
No. They're buying CCIV and QS.
Don't want to pin yourself on those.
Yeah. Hey, Carl, we got a couple of things I want to hit in deal land. One, a deal that's not happening, and another that did this morning involving lasers. Mm-hmm. But first, MGM, Entain. Remember, we talked about this last week. MGM, it's sports betting. We've talked a lot about the growth here in this country and overseas. Of course, Entain, UK-based. You can see what's happening because MGM says, and I can give you a little bit of background here as well, but they basically walk away. Remember, in the UK, you've got to tell everybody everything. There's no negotiation or not a lot that happens outside the light of day of a press release. So they say, after careful consideration, having reflected on the limited recent engagement regarding MGM's all-stock, rejected all-stock proposal at an exchange rate of 0.6, it does not intend to submit a revised proposal and will not make a firm offer for Entain. Why? Well, the price expectations. Remember, they started at 11. They went up to 13.75. That was what the 0.6 roughly equated to. What I hear out of their camp is, you know, they're disciplined buyers. And these guys simply had price expectations that were far higher than had been perhaps anticipated. Doesn't mean that this deal won't get done one day down the road, remember, because they do have a joint venture which acts more or less as a poison pill for MGM. In other words, no other bidder can come in there. It's going to either be MGM or nothing, given their joint venture. However, it's not going to happen today. Interestingly, guys, Barry Diller very much involved in leading the charge here for MGM. Remember, IAC, its largest single shareholder now, and Diller was going to step up and buy stock, conceivably, under any new deal with new money, but that's not going to happen. But he's all in on sports betting.
Well, we'll get to hear him tomorrow when he's on Squawk.
Yeah.
That's terrific.
They'll be able to ask him more.
I think sports betting is gigantic, Carl, but you get things like New York that want to do it on their own. You get things like SPACs that suddenly they're, or FUBO, I mean FUBO. And what you say to yourself, wait a second, if everybody gets in, then someone's going to cut margins. But if you entrench and get, like DraftKings, which I do some work for, they had a deal this weekend. If you're new and Mahone has a touchdown, you make $100. Mahomes had a touchdown. Mahomes had a touchdown.
Yeah.
That's a good deal.
It does remind you of today's call out of Berenberg, Jim. They take DraftKings to sell. They initiate sell. At 41.
Yeah.
Their broader point is, you know, the picture's bright, but some of the share expectations are getting overdone. At least that's their view.
Well, look, I totally understand that. But you take a look at Penn National Gaming, which has been an amazing performer, doesn't have any China, obviously, up another 18%. Penn National Gaming, of course, is Barstool and also just a great national footprint. So I don't know. I mean, if you think Barstool and Penn Nat are doing well, then I don't think you give up on DraftKings here. And I recognize that sell. I saw the sell, but I think it's one of those companies that is at the forefront of what I think will be multi-billion dollars. You watch football this weekend, and what do? You start hearing people from the mainstream talk about the line. Now, they tend not to know anything about the line for the most part, but it's very, very important because that's what people bet on. You know, David, when they say, well, you know, they joke about the line as if the gamblers out there aren't the core audience now that the numbers keep going down.
Yeah. They don't know about the line.
No.
How could you not know about the line? Same way they don't really know about EV or about battery technology.
They're very bad on EV.
Yeah.
It's really
how are they on lasers? Because Lumentum Holdings this morning, guys, buying Coherent.
Coherent. They're Coherent.
$100 a share in cash and 1.1851 shares. About a $5.6 billion deal. You can see Coherent shares rising dramatically. But Light is getting hit here. Lumentum getting hit. Right now, Lumentum derives about 60% of its revenue from the communications end market and about 33% from the consumer smartphone market. Coherent, 44% of revenue derived from microelectronics, exposure to flat panel display manufacturing. You get them together, and as you might imagine, they say we're going to be able to address a lot more markets in a lot more effective way. $115 million is what they're citing, at least as potential synergies. You see that premium there, at least to the closing price of the stock very recently on the 15th. Jim, who knew? Lasers.
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 Oh, not since James Bond. In Goldfinger, have we seen a laser used
yes, well,
in
well,
any sort of
Austin
way that we're
Powers,
excited
yeah,
about?
Yeah, we always think about that one as well.
But lasers have been, maybe their time has come, Carl. We see a lot of manufacturing, which is being done, obviously, when you go to a Tesla plant, there's not that many people there.
A lot of 3D sensing applications,
yes,
things like that.
And have you seen the burst in 3D?
Yeah.
DDD did have a great quarter. There is no doubt about it. It was a good quarter. Now people are trying to catch up with Stratasys. DDD, the famous 3D systems, here it goes again. But then again, you know, the short position, Carl, is 28%. So you don't know whether people are buying it here because they want to, they like the 3D space or because they want to bust the shorts, which has become a very common strategy for many younger people who think that these shorts have to be destroyed as if they are bugs on a windshield.
That's been the view of a few people over the last few years, that's for sure. So guys, session high, about 272 off of that, just a touch. Let's get to Bob Pisani this morning. Hey, Bob.
Good morning, Carl. Happy Tuesday, everybody. So this is it. This is Yellen's go big rally. That's essentially what's going on here. I think the market's concern is there's a big difference between a $1 trillion stimulus, which is what they're looking for, and a $1 trillion stimulus, which is what some people are saying they're going to have to compromise at. That's a pretty large difference here. If there's anything the Federal Reserve has learned since the 2008 financial crisis is go big rather than go small. I think many people wanted to do even more in 2008 after they saw the results, and if anything, wanted to be more aggressive. And so you're going to see Yellen really swing for the fences here. That's what the markets are anticipating. You see the moves here. Interesting to watch semiconductors generally outperform technology throughout the last several weeks. The retailers have just been doing great. The XRT, that's that retail index, it's near an historic high. It's done very well, equal weighted. Energy, oil's back towards 53. The pipeline news not hurting anybody there. Industrials have been modest outperformers, but not great on the year. Consumer staples and other defensive have been lagging all throughout 2021, lagging again today. 4-1 advancing the declining stocks, though. Nice start. We're right near a new high. What do we need? What does the market need to keep going? Well, obviously, a larger stimulus package. That's the main issue. But the bigger vaccine rollout, there's a lot of concerns about that variants that are out there, particularly in South America. Got a lot of notes about that over the weekend. But I think the two big things in the last week, a manageable rise in rates, a lot of talk about we got to avoid the taper tantrum in 2013, all the stuff that happened back then, got to avoid that. Manageable rise in rates, and then, of course, higher earnings. There's a lot of people who are very, very hopeful about the Q4 and the Q1 and Q2 guidance. So far, the numbers are good. It's really too early, but here's the story. 2019 was great, historic high. 2020, we dropped 25% in the earnings numbers, and they're expecting it all to come back at another historic high in 2021 at $167. But those numbers, that's 22 and a half times forward earnings right now. We've got to get those numbers up. And a lot of people are saying they're going to come up. Goldman Sachs thinks they're too low. Jonathan Golub over at Credit Suisse is saying he thinks the numbers are too low. Well, maybe. Q3, they were right. Q4, we'll see. They've got to get better guidance, though. So this quarter is not really about, this earnings season is not about the fourth quarter. It's about companies being more confident about the first and the second quarters. Meantime, isn't it nice to see some of these old school market stocks that we gave up on kind of come back? Look at General Motors today. You heard Phil talking about what was going on there with the Cruise announcement, Microsoft. They had several upgrades recently, and Exxon has been doing much better here. They had two upgrades last week. I don't know if the dividend is safe. JP Morgan says it is, but people are starting to act like that. And all these retailers like Best Buy and Tapestry, the old Coach, that's a two-year high for them. Nice to see the old school doing a little bit better. Meantime, it's really on the broader markets. It's very clear what's going on here. We've got energy stocks leading, any kind of energy stocks leading, clean energy, fossil fuels leading, and commodities. That's the Goldman Sachs Commodity Index and small caps. Those are the things moving the market. There's your stimulus play right there. The laggards are, well, gold, long-term bonds, defensive names like consumer technology, consumer staples, and tech is leading a little because FANG's been weak overall. So David, the fund manager survey, it's very clear what they're concerned about. They're worried about a steeper yield curve and higher inflation as an issue out there, but the two big issues there, peak growth on vaccine and peak liquidity on stimulus. I think they're a little early to be worried about that, but obviously those are second half worries. David, back to you.
Yeah, remember a year where we haven't had inflation and higher yields as a potential concern, Bob. Thank you. Bob Pisani. Still to come right here, Sir Richard Branson is going to join us on Virgin Orbit's successful satellite launch and his company's plans to transition into commercial service. But first, time for the bond report. Let's give you a look at how treasuries are faring this morning. Speaking of yields, as we just were with Bob as well, they are rising across the board. You see it, of course, ahead of Janet Yellen's confirmation hearing. That will begin at the top of the hour. We will be covering it live. Over in Europe, data showing investor confidence rising in Germany and the Eurozone overall. Italian yields falling after Prime Minister Conte won a confidence vote in the lower house. The ball is now in the Senate's court over in Italy. Let's finish with a look at the dollar. Weaker. We'll be right back.
The issue of getting 100 million doses in the first 100 days is absolutely a doable thing. What the president-elect is going to do is where it need be to invoke the DPA to get the kinds of things we need, whatever they may be they tests, be they vaccines, or what have you. In other words, to just not be hesitant to use whatever mechanisms we can to get everything on track and in the flow that he predict. But the feasibility of his goal is absolutely clear. There's no doubt about that, that can be done.
That's Fauci on Meet the Press yesterday. Kind of dovetails, Jim, with what J.P. Morgan said this morning, and that is going forward, the biggest macro risk appears to be vaccine supply, distribution, and uptake.
Yeah, totally. Look, I would love to have the scenario that Dr. Fauci laid out. I don't think it can possibly be as badly as what was laid out earlier a couple of months ago. I think the issue is there can be 100 million vaccine doses, but they may still not get to where they have to go. Unless you have J&J. I think J&J is the secret to the 100 million because J&J doesn't need the incredible refrigeration problems and it can be kept at room temperature. So I don't know. Without J&J, that's just not possible. It's just not. And I think it's unfortunate to raise expectations like that given what many people have been scrambling to get.
Gottlieb over the weekend, meantime, tweeted that we might see, Jim, 3 to 4 weeks of declining caseloads. And then if this new variant doubles in prevalence, which is widely expected, you could be looking at heightened infection rates even going into the spring. I did notice that the White House Council of Economic Advisers says that every day the vaccine is pulled forward, meaning it's ramped up, it's accelerated, it's worth $10 billion to society.
Well, that's a high one. Look, this is, Britain has handled this so badly, we think, but they've got national health care, and the percentage that they've rolled out is quite dramatic, David, versus the United States.
Yeah.
See, they have a federal program kind of that's run by the government, the big government, national health care.
Right.
What do we have? Can you get it at CVS? Can you get it at Walgreens? Can you get it at your local pharmacy? Can you get it at Staten Island? Yes. I got one of 50 appointments.
I know you did.
And it's because of my age. I did not pull rank. Not that anybody could care. The people have no idea. It's like, hey, how you doing? Fine.
No, you're old.
You don't watch Mad Money?
Yeah, you're
Mad,
old.
Huh? What? I did not play the Mad Money card. I said, hey, crazy money, stupid money.
We are happy for you, Jim.
Thank
Looking
you. I'm halfway
to dose
there.
Number two.
I'm halfway there.
Yeah. Dow's up 112. Don't go away. Starting in just a few moments, Treasury Secretary nominee Janet Yellen in front of Senate Finance on COVID relief, the dollar, the debt. the K-shaped recovery, and why she thinks it's time to go big. It starts at the top of the hour. Don't go anywhere. Let's get to Jim and stop trading.
You very rarely get United Health not going up right into the quarter. I think United Health's going to have a good number tomorrow, and I think it's going to start off the healthcare part of the earnings season, which can be very positive.
All right, Jim. I look forward to hearing more about that. How about tonight?
Logitech, it's down now, just like Goldman Sachs. Much better than expected quarter. We got to go into that because this is one of the best and hottest areas in e-commerce and gaming. We're going to know more about it. I can't wait.
Jim, the one thing I wanted to get your temperature on before we close out the hour was Gensler and Chopra to SEC and the Consumer Financial Protection Board. Some of the headlines this morning were outlook darkens for Wall Street. Gensler could be the most aggressive regulator in two decades.
Oh, please. Gensler's very smart. He'll figure out what's the right thing for the consumer. That's his background. I think we're in good shape for people who own stocks. Do not fear Gensler. He's too sophisticated.
So really no sector risk, at least for financials
as
well.
Gensler's very good. He wants what's good for the consumer. Maybe not Wall Street, but sometimes they do dovetail.
All right. Jim, we will see you tonight.
Thank you.
How about, and David, we never covered Cohen's tweet about the Mets.
Which one? You mean firing the general manager?
About Porter. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's unfortunate, Carl. But Steve doesn't, listen, he knows how to run his business. He's not going to take any,
no.
That's it.
I agree.
Brought the guy in, get rid of the guy. Not great for the Mets, although we are still very excited about our recent trade for Lindor. So, I'm still feeling good. And Steve Cohen is in control of that franchise.
That's for sure. And the communication window's opened up for sure on Twitter, at least.
Yes.
Jim, we'll see you tonight.
Okay, thank you very much.
6 p.m. Eastern time. You've been listening to The Opening Bell on CNBC's Squawk on the Street.
People today can spend half their lives over 50. So it's good to be financially ready for what's important to you as you get older, like a family vacation.
Cannonball!
Or starting your dream business.
Welcome to Connie's Coffee. How may I help you?
AARP's trusted financial tools can help you plan for whatever your future holds. That's why the younger you are, the more you need AARP. Start planning today at aarp.org/moneytools.